Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
And it's a whole lot better now than later for you to say, you know what, let's get these signs off the door. Let's let him in. Let's say yes to him. Let's let him go through the house. Let's let him do the remodel. Let's let him show us what needs to happen. Not do, not disturb. Disturb whatever you want, because my way's not working.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Do Not Disturb. Why do you hang a Do Not Disturb sign on your door? So you don't get disturbed. So this thing's hanging on the door. Have you ever hung one of those on the door and somebody come up anyway and bang on your door? And you're like, you know, what is the deal on the door for if you're going to ask me if I want my room clean? Don't disturb me. Leave me alone. I'll flip it over and tell you to clean the room when I'm ready, you know, but right now, let me sleep. Don't bother me. Do not disturb me. And that's a pretty clear message. Now, here's a question I want to ask today, and we'll look at a verse. Is it possible, do you think, to hang a do not disturb sign on the door of your heart? And basically say, God, you know, I like this place I live, I like my life, and I really don't need you disturbing me right now. Or at all. There are some people, folks, who put a do not disturb sign on their door and basically say, God, leave me alone, go away, don't bother me. There is a passage in Revelation chapter 3, the last book of the Bible, called the Revelation, written by John. And it's a very interesting book. Maybe you've done a study in this sometime. If not, read it. It's very fascinating. It really talks about the end times and what the future was going to be like before Jesus comes and kind of the end of the world. But in Revelation chapter 3, really chapter 2 and 3, there are some letters written to some churches. And I'm not going to get too far into this, but one of the churches that Jesus says to write a letter to is a church in Laodicea. And he says, write to this church, and let me give you some background on this city of Laodicea. It was famous for its commerce and its banking. This was a big business center in its day. And these people had a lot of money. There was a lot of industry. They really had everything they needed. And the word to describe how things got there is lukewarm. Let me read you some of the previous verses to where we're headed. Verse 15. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, Jesus says to him. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, and before I even read you what he says here, have you ever reached down to grab a cup of coffee, and it's not the hot cup you had, and it's not cold, it's just kind of lukewarm? I don't know anybody, guys, who sets their thermostat on their microwave so that it'll just make their coffee just lukewarm. You know, I don't want it cold, but I don't want it really hot. I just like it bland and lukewarm. There's nothing worse than that. If you're really thirsty, you want something really cold. You don't want something hot, and you sure don't want something lukewarm. That's all you got. But Jesus says to this church, you're lukewarm. And he said, it makes me, the King James, the old translation says, makes me want to spit you out of my mouth. And my translation says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. It's just repulsive. I want you out of my mouth. Because you're not hot or cold. You're neither. You haven't picked a side. Verse 17, and this is why they're lukewarm. He says, because you say, I'm rich. Man, I have everything I need. I got all the money I need. And have become wealthy and have need of nothing. He says, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Physically, you may have everything. You may have a great retirement plan. You may have a savings account. You may have money set aside. You may have a nice house. You may have all these things. You say, man, I'm doing pretty good. But Jesus says, I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking inside your heart, where you really live, who you really are. What's going on in there? He says, you're naked. You're blind. You're poor. You don't get it. Something's missing in your life. Let's skip down to verse 19. He says, as many as I love. Now listen to this. He says, as many as I love, if I say I love you, he says, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I got two little girls, a 4-year-old and 1-3, just turned 3 Sunday. I've got some great friends. We have some great friends who live 2 doors down, and they got 4 kids. And they got one about 3 years old. Well, she comes down to our house. You know, I don't spank Caroline a lot. I really don't spank my girls a lot. But if I have to discipline them, I find myself disciplining my children a whole lot more than anybody else's. Now, why is that? Why don't I go up and down the street and see some kid messing and just, you know, just wear them out? And you're in timeout, just go down and be the timeout man on my block, you know? Get up on your porch in timeout, you know? They're going to look at me. Why? I'm not their dad. I'm not their parent. I really don't have any authority to do that. Now, I've put Caroline in timeout a few times because our kids are down there and, you know, we know each other. But I discipline, I chasten my children. Why? Just so I can say, I'm the boss, I'm the king, I run things around here, you're going to do what I tell you. No, because if I don't teach those kids to obey and they don't learn some respect and some discipline and I don't try to guide them by disciplining them, they're just going to run amok the rest of their life. So I'm proving to them by disciplining them that I love them. Now, what is God doing in your life? He says, look, if I just let you run and take off and do whatever you want to do the rest of your life, it'll be a mess. I love you, and because I love you, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to rebuke you. So he says, if you understand that I love you, you understand that I'm going to discipline you, then don't put a do not disturb sign out on the door of your heart. Because when I come knocking, when I come calling on you, when I come to try to address something in your life, there's a purpose for it. I'm chastening, I'm rebuking, I'm trying to get your attention. He says, be zealous, or the word there may be eager, and repent. What does it mean to repent? Turn the other way, turn around. Okay, that's usually some of the terminology we use. The word repent really means to change your mind. That's what it means to repent. Now, here I am. I'm cruising through my life. You're living your life. You're doing whatever you're doing, whether it's God's will or your will. And God comes along, knocks on the door of your heart. And we'll see in a verse in a minute that explains this. But he tries to get your attention. He's got a plan, a direction for your life. And he's saying to you, change your mind. The way you're going, thinking the way you're thinking, doing what you're doing is not going to work. It has never worked. And I don't know anybody it has worked in. Change your mind. So what do? You've been saying, or I've been saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to stockpile. I'm going to find pleasure, wealth, position, whatever it is you've been chasing. And God says, look, that's never going to make you happy. Change your mind and agree with what I'm saying, not with what you're saying. Repent. Be eager. Repent. Change your mind and go the way I'm telling you to go. Now, he gives a great description of how this works out in your life. And this is the verse I want us to look at. And some of you, you've heard this all your life. Some of you may have never heard this. But verse 20, Revelation 3:20, it's a great one to remember. He says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now, what is the picture here? And the word behold here, it's not like you wouldn't say it back then like behold. You'd say, look, man, look, hey, look over here, behold, pay attention, look at this. Man, something's going on. He says, look, I stand at the door at knock. Now, who is standing at the door? It's Jesus. Now, guys, that's enough for me right there. Here I am, my life. Who am I? What is man, the Bible says, that you are mindful of him? I mean, why would God give a rip about me? God is so great. He is so awesome. Heaven is so incredible. Why would God come down and even get near me or my house or my life? And Jesus here says to these people, look, I am standing at the door of your life, at the door of your heart. Have you ever had somebody knock on the door of your house and you act like you're not there? They're just out there banging on the door and they're looking in that little thing with the, you know, they're looking in the little curtain deal you got in your deal and they're looking like, I know they're in there, and then they get in that peephole. If you've ever done this in somebody's peephole, you know, and you're trying to look, and somebody's looking the other end of his big old eyeball, and they move away. I went to see a lady one night. This was crazy. These people had visited our church and said, you know, have somebody come visit them. Went, two or three of us, drove to their house, went to see them, walked up the door, knocked on the door. Nothing. Except for a curtain that, you know, blew down. Like, okay, so we got somebody in this house. Now what do we do? We're knocking. They're not opening the door. What are you supposed to do? Nobody's there. So fine, we go back, get in our car, turn around and look. And here this woman is looking out the window. I mean, she's been in her house. She's not opening the door. And that can be very frustrating. It would be even more frustrating if you're in your house and somebody's at your door who you really needed to see. If you're inside your house, now that one may have been funny. I went and visited a lady yesterday in the hospital. She's about 85 years old. You know, one of the saddest things in the world to me is people who age and have great minds, and they're basically trapped. They're people like you and me, trapped in a body that's going downhill, and they want to do what they used to do. They look in the mirror. They don't see who they used to see, and it's very frustrating. This woman's laying in a hospital bed. The lady next door to her, her daughter told me, got on the phone talking to a friend and said, well, I've got this lady over here and such happened to her. She's 85, but she looks like she's 100, and this woman's hearing this. You know, so you think, gosh, this is terrible. This woman was taking a bath, fell in the bath, and burned her backside, scalded the backside of her body. And she's in the hospital. She's in pain. You know, it's just no fun. If you're in the house and you're in trouble, let's say you're down in the shower, something bad's wrong with you, and someone's knocking at the door. You can't hear them at the door. You're not coming because you can't hear them, and they can't get in because you got to open the door. That's a tragic kind of situation. I mean, that is frustrating. It would be if something really went wrong and that person never heard them. You know, somebody I need is at the door. I need help. Somebody go open that door. Let them in. And there are people all over the planet. And someone, according to this verse, is standing at the door of their heart who they desperately need, and they're not aware of who it is. If they would just go open that door, everything in their life would change. But what do? We take a little sign, we open the door, say, look, you know what? Just leave me the heck alone. Why don't you just go away? It may not be great in here, but the last thing I need is some God in here telling me how to run my life. Guys, I have never had anybody run my life better than he does. I try to wing it on my own, make my own decisions, try to go my way, make the best of it. And when I finally stop and say, you know what, God, I'm screwing this up royally. This is not working. And you say, God, all right, I'm going to let you come in. You tell me what you want to do. You say what you want to say. You tell us where we're going. And I'm not telling you don't have any problems, folks, but things just run a lot smoother, a lot easier. Even when you're getting hammered, you have somebody there with you. There's nothing worse than being alone. I work with singles. You know what the number one, I think, frustration of single adults is? One of the toughest things. It's lonely out there. They go home, they close the door of their house, they've had roommates, and that, you know, that's sometimes lonelier with a roommate, that can be frustrating. They get in that house and there's nobody there. It's not the lack of sex. It's not the lack of all the fun and excitement. It's just sometimes it's lonely. You want companionship. And Jesus in this verse says what? Look, I am standing at the door of your heart. That's awesome enough to me just to know he's near my house. The fact that he would bother to knock means he wants in. I'm not just here, I want in. I'm knocking. Then it says, if any man will hear my voice, I've got the God of the universe standing at my door, knocking and calling out my name. It doesn't get any better than that, except if he was on the inside. Now, am I saying to you that if you open that door and let him in, you'll never be lonely again? I'm telling you, you'll never be alone again. You may be lonely physically in relationships. You wish you had some companionship, but you can never get alone again. He says, I don't just want to stand here. I don't want to just knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens that door, here's the deal. I will come in and sup with him, dine with him, and he with me. You don't eat with enemies. Do you know that? If someone in your office that you despise and you know that despises you, you cross them in the hall, you don't speak. If you got a little note or a memo from your boss that said, I've invited you and so-and-so to go to lunch, you would do everything in your power to avoid that meal. Because you do not want to sit down at a table with someone that despises you and that you despise. Who do we usually eat with? People we want to be with. He says, I want to come in and I want to live with you. I want to eat with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And then he says, I will sup with you and that person with him. Have you ever had anybody say, I had this conversation with somebody the other day. Somebody say to you, oh yeah, so-and-so is my best friend. And you sit down with so-and-so and say, well, so-and-so said that you all are best friends. You go, well, that may be what they think. Have you ever been somebody's best friend that it really wasn't reciprocal? Jesus says here, I'm going to come in and sup with you, but it's not just me with you, it's you with me. It is a two-way street. Sometimes you get in relationships where it's just you helping the other person, they never help you. It's you listening to the other person, they never listen to you. It's you giving, 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 and they never give to you. And you think, you know what, this is really out of whack. That's not the kind of marriage anybody's looking for. That's not the kind of healthy relationship anybody wants. You want something where it's give and take. It works both ways. Jesus says, that's what I want. I want to come in. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. I want to build a relationship. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. Let me read back through this. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that's when it happens. If you hear his voice. People do scary things in their homes. And I've even done this. Someone's knocking or rings the doorbell, knocking on your door. You go to the door. If you have a door where you can't see out, you don't have any side windows, how many times has someone knocked at your door? You go up to the door, and what do you say? Before you unlock it or open it, what do you say? Who is it? And you've never seen them, but the person says what? It's me. Do you know what? We're laughing, but even if someone says, it's me, boom, we open the door. Why? Why will you open the door to a response of, it's me? Because you recognize the voice. Now, if you're sitting in your house all alone, your life is upside down, and somebody's at the door, and you know it because they're knocking, but you also know it because you hear their voice. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you hear the voice of Jesus, you know it. And I think the reason we so quickly put the do not disturb sign out or open it is because we know that voice. And when Jesus comes into my heart, into my life, and starts knocking on the door and calling out my name, man, there's something I'm telling you that happened when he calls your name about a specific area of your life. Maybe you've never let him in your life to begin with. Maybe since the day you were born. And the funny thing about, the tragic thing about this really is you can sit in a church for 30, 40 years. You can go to all kind of religious stuff. You can get up and read your Bible and say some prayers. And all the time, Jesus is standing there knocking on the door saying, you know what, all this is interesting, but you've never let me in. I got to be inside your life. I've got to be inside your heart. I got to be inside your home. Or we're never going to have a relationship. Me outside the door is not where it's going to work. So maybe that's the first thing you got to do is say, you know what, I've never let him in my life to begin with. And, you know, if you've never understood what that's about, the whole reason Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, so that you could say, you know what, God, I don't deserve for you to even be at my house, knocking on my door, calling my name, anything. I don't even know why you'd come to my place. But you're here, and it must be because you love me, you want to come in, I'm going to let you in. That's where it starts. But then we get him in the house, and we got rooms that we hang little things on. And he comes along knocking. He said, what's in this room? Hello, anybody in there? Oh, Jesus, don't go in there. I don't want you bothering that. That room's a mess. Don't disturb anything in there. I'm not ready to clean that room up yet. And see, he moves through a room like this, and something in your heart, just talking about this stuff, the Holy Spirit of God starts knocking on doors. And he says, what are we going to do about this? I've been out here at this door for 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years. He says, I'm still here and I'm going to keep knocking because until we do something about this, nothing's going to change. There's a famous painting, and you go up to this painting and it's huge in Europe somewhere. And the artist has depicted Jesus doing just this, standing at a door, knocking. He's on one side and there's a person on the other side of the door. So you're sitting a slice of the house. Jesus on one side, the person on the inside. Jesus is knocking. You think, you know, why didn't he just go in? Why is he just knocking? This whole deal. And the picture looks completely normal until you look really close. And what do you suppose is different about the door? There's a latch on one side. And there's something about God's love that is overwhelming, but yet at the same time, he still gives you free will. And he says, you know what? I have the power to walk through the door. I don't even have to kick it down. Jesus appeared and disappeared all throughout the time between his resurrection from the dead and his ascension. I can walk right through that. I can appear in your house. But he says, here I am at the door. I'm not going to kick your door down. I'm not going to force my way in here. I'm going to knock. And in this picture, the only way it would ever get in is for that person to go up and say, you know what? Come on in. You're welcome here. I'll take the sign off. My way's not working. I need you in here. I need you in my life. I need this relationship. Think about this, guys. We let everybody and everything under the sun in our house but him sometimes. Jesus knocks on the door and says, you know what? I'm the relationship you need. You say, yeah, that may be true. Some man comes along. Well, Jesus, could you move over just a minute over here on the porch? That's the man I need right there. That's the woman I've been looking for. They're going to solve all my problems. And we slam the door on Jesus. And we start pursuing relationships with some man, with some woman, think that's going to cure our life. Or a truck backs up full of stuff. That's what's going to make me happy. Jesus, could you sit on the swing over there a minute? Y'all bring that stuff in here. That's what's going to make me happy. And we haul everything into our lives and into our heart, but what? But him. If he loves you and he does, what does the verse before say? He's going to rebuke, he's going to chasten, he's going to discipline you. Why? Because he knows what's best. And guys, my philosophy is God wins or you die. One of those two things is going to happen. But in the end, he's going to win. And it's a whole lot better now than later for you to say, you know what, let's get these signs off the door. Let's let him in. Let's say yes to him. Let's let him go through the house. Let's let him do the remodel. Let's let him show us what needs to happen. Not do not disturb. Disturb whatever you want, because my way's not working. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. What is he talking to you about today? What's the door? And are you going to keep him outside or are you going to let him in?
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray a minute. Father, I thank you so much for a time like this. God, it is always so amazing to me, even personally, what huge intersections we find ourselves at moments like this, forks in the road, and it gets quiet, and we're finally still, and the voice that we've tried to block out and muffle and act like it's not there, you're patient, you're persistent. You stand, you just stay there. You keep knocking, you keep calling our name. And Father, literally, there are people who can make life-changing decisions, maybe for the first time in their life, to open that door of their heart that they've heard you knocking on for so long. Not a religion, but a relationship that they can enter into where you come in and live with them and change their life. And for those, Father, who already have this relationship, who know what eternal life is, but they're being robbed of abundant life by their own doing, God, by faith, I pray that they would reach down, turn that knob in their heart and say, you know what? Why don't you come in here and do what you've been wanting to do all this time? Lord Jesus, come in. Do what you want to do. I'm yours. I'd rather have you than all this stuff I've held on to anyway. Do what you want to do. God, give us the faith to trust you and understand that your way is best. That all that we chase after and cling to will never satisfy. And for those who make decisions even now to let something go, maybe a relationship, maybe a promotion they'd rather have more than anything, even you, security, whatever it may be, God, every one of us knows what it is in our life. Give them the strength to let it go, Father, and let you in and not shut you out anymore. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. For his patience, His mercy, Your kindness that leads us to repent, to change our mind, and for His willingness to suffer and die on a cross and be buried and raised from the dead, that we could have eternal life and abundant life between here and heaven. You're an awesome God, and we pray that You'd speak to us and speak through us and use us even this day to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.